The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men, unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, and they opened up the roof above him. And after they had broken through, they let down on the mat the paralytic. They let down on the mat the paralytic on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes who were sitting there were asking themselves, "Why does this man speak in this way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, and so he said, Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise and pick up your mat and walk"? But you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic. "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat, and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. And they were all astonished and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A couple of things about this Gospel. You know, I think I may have commented on this to you before. Jesus looks at a paralytic with a pretty serious problem. I mean, if he can't walk, that's pretty serious. And he says to a paralytic something very strange. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, is Jesus blind? What, doesn't he know that this man's problem is that he's paralyzed? But he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And it's a very instructive moment for us, because whatever your problems in this life, however serious they may be, health problems, money problems, relationship problems, whatever they might be, however serious they might be, God looks at you and me and he sees our most serious problem as being our sin. Our sin. I've given you this image before, but there's a man brought into a shock trauma unit at a hospital, the emergency shock trauma unit, and he's practically bleeding to death because of a gunshot wound or something. And he sort of comes to out of his unconsciousness, and he looks up at the doctor and says, "Doctor, I'm glad to see you. I would like to talk to you about getting a hair transplant." You know, all right, the guy may be bald, but that's not his most serious problem at the moment. Doctor says, "Skip, let's not talk about that now. Let's deal with your gunshot wound." See, now I think sometimes that's kind of an image of us before God. You know, we come to God and we tell him all our problems. "Oh, this problem, we moan and we groan about this." And look, there may be serious problems, and we should talk to God about them. But really, honestly, I just wonder if maybe God isn't waiting for us to talk to him about our most serious problem, which is our sin. We'll talk to God about everything else. Fix my car. Fix my relationship. Fix my boss. Fix my finances. You know, fix my health. And God is waiting, just waiting for some sinner to pray, "Have mercy on me, Lord. I'm a sinner. Help me with my sins." So Jesus, you see, looked at this paralytic and says to him a very strange thing: "Your sins are forgiven." See. Now, the second thing, most of the ink in this gospel is spilled on this topic, is the authority of Jesus to forgive sins, and in an extended sense, the authority of man to forgive sins. There is a scandal that's created in the ears of some of the scribes who are astonished that Jesus, according to them anyway, an ordinary man, would forgive sin. And he knows what they're thinking, and so he says to them, "You know, I want you to know I have authority to do this. So I'm going to tell this man, pick up your mat and walk." See? So the man does, and everyone in the crowd is astonished. The scribes and the Pharisees don't know quite what to say. But the crowds say this, the scribes say this: "Who alone but God can forgive sins?" Now, first of all, Jesus is God. All right? But the crowds say something interesting. They glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." And also that he had given such authority, that God had given such authority to men. Now, I want to take it one step further and just say this much, that this is sort of the cry of the Protestants, you know. Who alone but God can forgive sins? Why do you go to the priests and talk about your sins and so on? And there is a... at one level, I want to say, all right, I think the Protestants are right about this. God alone forgives sins. When you go to confession to a priest, the priest doesn't really forgive your sins. Jesus forgives your sins. He is working and acting and speaking through the priest. But it really is ultimately Jesus who does so. But nevertheless, Jesus did give this authority to man. John, at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus says to the apostles, after his resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." So, Jesus, if you will, shares his power to forgive sins through the powerful ministry of his priest, by his power, working through them. And notice again, it isn't just some vague thing like, go and announce to people that their sins are forgiven. Tell them it's okay, God forgives you. That's not what he told them to do. He said, he gives them a juridical power. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. So notice, the Lord didn't just give them the ability to announce forgiveness, but to actually confer it, and in some cases, to refuse to confer it. It's rare, but, you know, people sometimes come to confession and they'll confess sins, and it becomes obvious to the priest that they have no intention of trying to stop. They're just, you know, going through the motions. They don't really, therefore, have contrition, and so the priest decides, well, I can't get forgiveness in this case. You know, an obvious example is someone who's, you know, living together with someone outside of marriage or whatever, and they're going to continue living with this person and sleeping with them, and they come and they say, "I'm real sorry that I'm doing this." Well, you're not sorry enough, because apparently you're not going to try to stop doing it, and so I can't really give forgiveness, you know, in this case. And until you can find a way to end this practice, then come to me and we can speak about forgiveness. So the priest, if you will, does not just have, is not just told by Jesus to tell everyone that I forgive them, but rather to actually exercise something of a juridical power to either forgive or retain sin. And it's very astonishing when you think about it. It's shocking. It's astonishing that God would give this gift. See? So the crowds praise God that such authority is given to men, and that you know, we've never seen anything like this. And Jesus wanted to first of all demonstrate he had the authority to forgive, but later he would even share this authority with ordinary men. And not just any of his disciples, but the apostles. That's why we retain this authority to the priest of the church, not just to all the disciples in general, but rather because he speaks only to his apostles when he gives this power. See, and the apostles were the first priest. So, again, I just want to say that to you because I think a lot of times, not only among Protestants, but even among a lot of Catholics, they all go to my priest, I just told directly to God. And this is not very biblical. Bible says, nowhere in the Bible will you say, when you've sinned, just tell your sins privately to God. That's not what the Bible says. It just doesn't say that. I don't doubt that it is something we ought to ordinarily do when we're praying, talk to God about our sins, but it does say in the Bible, the instruction is, declare your sins one to another. And it says that in the context of the calling of the priest in James chapter 5. So, again, it says, he goes on to say, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's all in the context of declaring your sins. The book of Acts says that many came to the apostles, divulging their practices, you see. And so in the early church, this was clearly something that was celebrated. So again, it is not really biblical to say, all I have to do is to tell my sins privately to God. I don't got to go to every absent priest. Well, fine, but that isn't what the Bible says. The Bible says declare your sins. And so Again, just a few thoughts today on this sacrament of confession and the notion of sin in general. God has a way of teaching us regarding this sacrament of confession in a text like this. And that's